The World This Week. Politics.
America and Israel launched an extensive attack on Iran, as Donald Trump promised, among many other claims, to end the country's nuclear program once and for all. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader since 1989, was killed when his compound in Tehran was bombarded by missiles. America said its offensive was on a much larger scale than the shock and awe tactics used against Iraq in 2003. An American submarine sank an Iranian warship near the coast of Sri Lanka, the first known firing of a torpedo by America in combat since the Second World War. The Sri Lankan Navy rescued dozens of sailors from the waters. Over 80 bodies were recovered and others unaccounted for. Iran retaliated by firing drones and missiles at Israel and across the region, including at Arab countries. Most were intercepted, but some of the targets hit were America's embassy in Riyadh, which suffered minor damage, a port in Amman, luxury hotels in Dubai, which were clipped by falling missile debris, and a base housing American troops in Qatar. Iran has crossed a red line, said Qatar's foreign ministry. Turkey said that NATO defense systems had shot down an Iranian missile heading into its airspace. Iran later denied this and said it respected Turkish sovereignty. Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed militia in Lebanon, fired rockets at Israel, prompting the Israelis to strike back, including at targets in Beirut. Israel also sent troops across the border. The Lebanese government, finally exasperated by Hezbollah, declared that the group's military and security activities were illegal. Airlines cancelled flights to the Gulf region. Some planes were laid on to evacuate thousands of expat workers and their families from Dubai. Some companies even sent private jets to rescue their staff. The cost to shipping rose sharply as marine insurers cancelled some contracts related to war risks in the region. With oil tankers unable to traverse the Strait of Hormuz, energy prices soared. Brent crude traded nearly $84 a barrel, up from $70 recently. Qatar shut its liquefied natural gas terminal, which handles a fifth of the world's LNG supplies. Gas futures jumped by more than 50% in Europe. American stock markets took a small knock at the prospect of an extended conflict, but started to bounce back in the middle of the week. Markets fell particularly hard in Asia, which is heavily dependent on energy shipments from the Gulf. South Korea's main share index, which had been on a spectacular run, plunged by 12%, the most ever in a single day, before rebounding. Dozens of people were killed in Pakistan during widespread protests against the attack on Iran. At least 10 protesters were killed when they tried to storm the American consulate in Karachi. American Marines stationed there opened fire, according to a report citing American officials, but it was unclear if their shots were aimed at or actually struck any of the protesters. Local police and security were also present during the disturbance. Fighting between Afghanistan and Pakistan is turning into their worst conflict for years. Pakistan recently struck sites in Afghanistan that it said were being used by terrorists who are supported by the Taliban government in Kabul. It has now broadened its offensive to include the Taliban's military facilities, including the Bagram Air Base north of Kabul. Afghan and Pakistani troops have also clashed along their border. Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, said America could use British bases to launch limited operations against Iran, but only if they were defensive. Britain will not join offensive action, said Sir Keir. A British base in Cyprus was hit by an Iranian drone. He has not been helpful, said Mr. Trump. This is not Winston Churchill that we're dealing with. The American president threatened to halt all trade with Spain over its refusal to let the US use bases there. Sir Keir's critics accused him of trying to placate the anti-war left following his Labour Party's loss of a former stronghold at a by-election for Parliament. The seat in Greater Manchester was won by the populist left Greens, who campaigned to win over a substantial Muslim electorate in the area. The populist right Reform UK came second, pushing Labour into an embarrassing third place. Emmanuel Macron announced that France would increase its nuclear weapons capability and launch a new nuclear-armed submarine in 2036. The next 50 years will be an era of nuclear weapons, the French president said, as Europe contends with nuclear threats from Russia. France will also work with Britain, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Greece, the Netherlands, Poland and Sweden on a new forward deterrence strategy that will involve joint exercises. The French president will have the ultimate say over firing the missiles. American special forces are supporting troops in Ecuador in a military operation against drug trafficking sites, according to the Pentagon. The Americans are there in an advisory role, it said, and not participating in the raids against designated terrorist organizations. Maria Corina Machado, Venezuela's main opposition figure, pledged to return to the country in a few weeks to assist with an orderly, sustainable, and unstoppable transition to democracy. Delcy Rodriguez, the leftist regime's interim president, warned that if Ms. Machado returns, she will have to answer to Venezuela for her support of America's military intervention in January, which removed Nicolas Maduro from power. Voters in Nepal headed to the polls in a general election. The election was called following student-led riots last September, in which scores of people were killed, causing the prime minister to resign. America imposed sanctions on Rwanda's army and four of its senior officers for violating an American-brokered ceasefire in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Fighting in the region has continued since the deal was struck in December, with M23, a rebel group backed by Rwanda, pushing deeper into the countryside. The European Medicines Agency recommended for approval the first one-day single-dose oral cure for one of the most common forms of sleeping sickness, a fatal parasitic disease prevalent in Africa. The cure is one of several being developed and tested in Africa to help eliminate neglected tropical diseases.